All right. And on I Stand Today, we're going to talk a little bit about everything, I think. I don't know. We're always so random, right? But first and foremost, we're homesteaded in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And without him, we have nothing and we are nothing. And also, a special guest, Zotishti Felicia.
Hi.
Yeah, look at that. See, hadn't been around in forever. Well, she's been around in my life. You guys just haven't heard from her, but, you know, here she is.
Thorn in your side.
Yeah, she's my thorn. Or maybe it's the other way around, probably. So, anyway, but we'll go ahead here and do a prayer. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come on here and just talk about you and the blessings that you give us, and we pray that it'll come and help somebody to you and wherever you need this message to be, Lord. It's about you, and everything's made by you, and we're just thankful to know you. And we pray others get to know you too. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. So, what you been doing?
Besides what's on my lap right now.
Yeah,
crocheting.
Knitting.
It's not knitting.
It's knitting.
Don't know how to knit.
Oh, it looks like it to me.
Well, trying to can, but that didn't go so well, as you know. I had to chop up a couple things for me, and you thought it was salsa.
Nah, you said it was salsa. You said it's salsa. I cut up the onions, and then we got the tomatoes and the peppers. We're like, yeah, we're making salsa. You said salsa. And then I'm like, well, hey, I'm going to put hot peppers in this salsa. You're like, yeah, good idea. And then I chop them up, whole bunch of really hot peppers, put them in there with the onions. They say, I know, you're making spaghetti sauce that is... might as well be just sriracha or something. I don't know. It's wicked hot, huh?
I must have thought that you were talking about, you know, if I was going to make salsa. It's like, yeah, I'm going to make salsa. But no, right then and there, I was making spaghetti sauce. And when I went to go try it, my mouth was on fire.
Yeah. And now.
So I learned a lesson. Yeah. Do not ever ask you to chop up
any kind of pepper. I'm going to remember this forever. I'm never cutting up another onion.
I get to watch you cry. I said pepper.
It's just funny. I mean, at least we got a good laxative. We put that on our spaghetti, it'll be pooping fire. But anyway.
Most of it came out of our garden, which I worked my butt off this summer.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, that was a blessing in itself. You look at the fact that, it didn't come out the way we intended it, but yeah, it also, you'd say it didn't come out very good, but I look at it the other way.
In hindsight, it's like you look at it and it's like, oh my goodness, there's so many bare spots, because come to find out, the heat fried a lot of the seeds that we planted, and silly me, I didn't know that you couldn't plant them right into the ground, that you had to actually start them somewhere cooler. So it was kind of like,
trial and error, but not really though. But I mean, we wouldn't have had anything.
The rabbits eating her.
The Lord blessed us with rain when we needed it. We prayed for it. He gave it to us. I mean, we wouldn't have had anything without that. So you know what? We got amazing giant pumpkins, yep. Right? Second generation seeds.
I think your uncle said they were like third.
Okay. So, I mean, then we got the sunflowers.
Those are second generation.
Yep.
And those are huge. Those are bigger than last year.
Yeah.
We got tons of corn.
Which, that sunflower thing is really cool though, because you're keeping only the giant seeds to continue growing bigger ones.
Well, no, this year I'm going to collect from all of them, but I'm going to separate the seeds into categories because they're cross-pollinated between my work and what the bees have done. So we're trying to get the big sunflowers to crossbreed with the sunflowers that have multiple heads on one stem. So that way you get giant sunflowers, but multiple on one stem.
It's just really cool. I mean, that's a blessing in itself. One, you're finding joy in something the Lord blessed us with. And two, you're literally getting ideas on how to make it continue to grow pretty in the bigger, way you want it, where you want it.
Bigger,
right?
Better, prettier. But also, I'm working with other people. So it gets other people involved into it, too.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing. Gardening. Yeah, exactly. It gets people's interest. So you got something really pretty. I mean, the flowers, arguably, I mean, I guess you could say they are really pretty.
Yes.
They're that one part of the year. I mean, it's a huge blob of them. I mean, it's incredible. But, I mean, that's a blessing in itself. You look at something like that, and you're like, wow. I mean, of course, you get out. You get out west a little ways, and you got sunflower fields and stuff, so that's pretty cool to see too. But it's not quite like this because they're not like ridiculously large like that. But that's a blessing. Our tomatoes, those were a blessing. I mean, those just exploded. Once again, it's like anything else, you end up with way more than you ever know what to do with. But it's a blessing that we could mess up spaghetti sauce and have more tomatoes to make other things. So, I mean, trial and error. But, I mean, you're upset because things didn't turn out. But at the same time, we did. We were blessed with some things. And we're also blessed with knowledge for the next time we do it.
Yeah. It was just kind of funny because the last time we had a garden that was even kind of close to as big as what we have this year, we had all those zucchini.
Yeah, that was because you didn't listen to me. You're like, I was like, you need like three plants. You're like, I want all of it, man. You had
more next year.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah. Now it's kind of the opposite. Now it's like we have way too many tomatoes compared to zucchinis. But we've learned how to freeze zucchini and make zucchini bread.
Oh, yeah. It's delicious.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, we could freeze it and be able to make zucchini bread throughout the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, and beyond that, the biggest blessing is regardless of how the garden turned out, the work that you got to do with your hands, I got to do with my hands, us getting in it, and for you specifically,
the
time you got to sit out there and really connect and be prayerful and think of the Lord in what you were doing. So how did that work for you?
Well, after the kids got bored of it, I get my quiet time.
Well,
and within that quiet time, I'm able to just sit, de-weed, and talk to God as if He was right there next to me.
Yeah.
Anything and everything, problems, asking, you know, questions. It was crazy because I actually find that more of my prayers were answered. Not like any big, huge ones, like, oh, I want to win the Mega Millions, but... you know, simple.
Did not happen.
No, I didn't pray for it. Simple little things did. And now that the garden's gone and I've got more distractions, I haven't been.
You brought up something. Yeah. You brought up something really big though. Like you're saying, small, no prayer small. And beyond that, it's the fact of prayers are answered all the time. We just don't realize that He knows what we need before He does. We're like perpetual children in a lot of ways. You're like, well, that's not what I... Yeah, but that's what you needed, you know? So having five kids, you get a good understanding of, what they think they need and what you know they need are two different things. And so that's a blessing, too. So the fact that you're getting to spend time thinking and praying and working with your hands, the Lord loves us to work with our hands. I mean, I benefited from that, too, through COVID-19 stuff, like I explained before. I mean, it was... It's very freeing, and I mean, just in general, everything that goes on, any time that you could spend in the quiet, working with your hands, one-on-one time, and meditate on any of the words of Scripture that the Lord's given you, or, you know, any of the wisdom He has you ponder, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, and that it comforts us. I mean, quite frankly, most people miss out on all of the wondrous things that are around them, and they don't even take a second look. And you know, we'll talk more about blessings. We get a break in real quick, and then we'll come back and talk more. Hold on 1 minute. All right, and we're back, and we're talking about blessings, and what a do a few scriptures of Proverbs 10:6. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Then another proverb, 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Then Malachi 2:2, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. In Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And thank you, Lord, for that. And, you know, a lot to be said, really, but what he said, if you will not hear and you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord. A lot of people miss that. These things, it's I mean, a lot of things like knock, door open, ask, and it'll be given to you. We were talking about, you know, some things that are, oh yeah, you know, we're going to give your kids something when you know that they can't really handle what they think they need and you know what they actually need. If you're not ready for the blessing, you're going to fumble it. I mean, and he knows that. He's not setting us up for failure. And honestly, if your heart's not ready and you're not already looking to God with the little things, why do we think he's going to give us a big thing? Not that he can't. He can do whatever he wants. But the point is if you can't handle, like everybody, ooh, you know, you bring up a lottery ticket. I mean, how many people actually are angry because that doesn't happen?
Right.
And they pray. But then when they actually get it, then they forget God exists. And that happens most of the time. And that's a horrid thing. So, I mean, I wasn't trying to get you off from what you're talking about. But the fact of the matter is we are blessed. Even if it all didn't turn out, the blessing, it was right there in front of our face. They're everywhere you look. That, like I said, the biggest thing when I do the prayers with the kids, you know, what are you thankful for? I make them point out, what are you thankful for? Even if they're saying their toys, or it's funny because the boys especially, they make mention of having a house and a bed to sleep in all the time, or food. And those are the keys. Like, understanding you would have nothing without him, and you have to praise him. It's not a behind closed doors. If something amazing happens, share it. You know, a lot of people think that's strange, I guess. But it seems to be that way, because every time you go out and you think you're amongst people that are fellow believers, I don't ever really hear it out of them as much. It's almost like a sidestep. But
how often do you, I mean, you drive around for work. How often do you hear somebody say, thank you, God, you know?
Well, yeah, thanks to the Lord is a big thing. However, I will say I meet drivers that are actually very much so on top of it. I've been blessed to meet a lot of great people. But
I've noticed you say, thank you, Lord. And after you break that ice, then they're more comfortable with it. I think there's a lot of people that are afraid of chasing other people away. Just because they say that.
Well, it's because our society, everybody feels like they can't say anything, which...
Everybody's getting judged by everybody.
Well,
and people are afraid of being judged.
They're worried about being judged by man when, you know, the Lord tells us we should not be... We have nothing to fear from people who are already dead. Like, there's nothing to fear. We fear one thing, and that is the Lord. And, I mean, when you think... I mean, how many times do you think people think, well... Yeah, you know, I'm good enough. He's not going to do nothing. I mean, people don't look at the blessings. I love that what Job says. He says it right to his wife. He's like, are we to accept only the good from the Lord and not the calamity? Like, sometimes we cause our own calamity, and sometimes the calamities, although it seems twisted on the outside as to, like, Job's friends, it's because he believes in us. He knows our faith because he created us, and he never gives us more than we can handle, even if we think it's insane. But the point is everybody misses the little things. And then when something big happens, they're blaming God for something that it's not. It's like, why does it's that a la carte God theory again. Everybody's coming out saying, well, It's just as long as you're there when I need you. But when things are good, things are rolling high, everybody forgets. But then when things fall apart, it's like, Lord, fix it again. But maybe you need to go through a season of hardship to actually appreciate something. And, you know,
to be able to help somebody else have their understanding so you can help them.
Maybe. Or, yeah, quite frankly, I mean, you can take bad things, and it's a blessing to be able to look in hindsight and see the blessings. Everything that you think is bad, as I said in my testimony, I mean, it's a wonderful thing to think of all the things and all the rottenness and how awful I am, and yet I see so much blessing in it, because it just makes you so much more excited and so much more delighted to know that the mercy and love that the Lord shows doesn't have to. Like I said on the last episode, I mean, it's His grace. I did nothing for it. It was the fact that I don't know. I don't know what that purpose. He knows everything, and this has come out, and, you know, pray people listen to it and enjoy it. I sure enjoy sharing it, but like you say, I'm out and about. I'm blessed to be able to do that. So I'm getting to talk to people every day and getting into the flow of, you know, stepping outside the box. People just have a hard time unless they carry a terminology behind them, like they're expected to because they're dressed as a pastor and they're a pastor, to say something. Otherwise, it's almost not okay in random public places. And that really shows you the core of the issue of everything. And it's not that people wouldn't say something. They're just so scared to. And
it's kind of weird because people talking about God like people treat women who are breastfeeding in public.
A natural thing?
Yeah. Something that should be natural, and yet you treat it
That is true. Yeah, actually, that's a really good perspective. It should be natural. It should be. I mean, one thing's for sure. Like Matthew 25:13, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You know, we're supposed to be sober and vigilant and realizing that, again, just to the same nature of that could be your last breath. You know, He's here. Well, that's like, so you get drunk, He doesn't see you. So we go, oh, well, I'll take the risk and get blasted today.
Oh, it hasn't happened so
far. Yeah, right. And then we just start going the other direction. And I'm telling you, you can't take your eyes off that prize. Like I say, I love going back to that. Peter walked on water, okay? What happened? He took his eyes off the Lord. So if you think of that in the dichotomy of getting... you think about that in the dichotomy of everyday life and being able to stand on that faith and just look right at Him and everything's cool and not take your eyes off it. And that has been one of the most incredible things. But again, you got to be in the Word. You got to be eating the bread to feed the Spirit one-on-one time. And if you're not, don't expect growth. I mean, that's like saying, hey, my kid's not growing and they're getting sick. Well, yeah, because you're not feeding them. Well, it's the same premise.
And if you're not, then the other thing is what is it that you are doing? What is it that's taking up your time?
Oh, yeah. No, that's for sure, too. I mean, and anybody is definitely guilty of this in many different ways, and you really have to check yourself in your life. I mean, I myself, I'll use myself as an example. I used to spend my Sunday watching sports, football, NASCAR, you name it. And like, the thing is, the wonderful thing about it is, I understand the allure because you get lost in something else. It's no different people with video games or anything else. But that's the problem. We're getting lost in something and we're forgetting about reality. Well, then insert the Lord in my life, and you can attest to this. I don't pay attention to any sports at all. I dropped the news. I dropped all of it. NASCAR, biggest race fan ever. You wouldn't even know I watch NASCAR.
Just look at the money you're saving, not have to pay for the sports channel.
Oh, that's true too. Well, that's another blessing. But see, right there, that in itself, no more satellite bill. Incredible. What a blessing. But then you think it's no different in addiction to anything else. You're like, oh man, how am I going to live without that? But then all of a sudden you realize you don't need that. I spend any time that I was ever going to spend there. I'm in the Bible. I'm in the Bible all the time. Am I not? I mean, that's where I find my joy and my pleasure. It's not I'm special or something like, it's not that. It's, I have no other drive. Truly, if I had a hobby, that's my hobby. There's nothing else. And my hobby envelops a vast majority of my time, because I will be up late at night. I will be, and you know, I think you asked me one time, what was you asked me about? How do I keep up? What was it you said?
How do you go about your day as if you've slept for hours when all you've done is slept for like 2-3 hours?
Right. Okay. Yeah. You know what? Here's a great point. I mean, you look at 40-day fastings, things like that, which I've never done. At least, I don't know. I mean, I've had to really think about it, because there's been a lot of times I went with no sleep for a few days or an hour here or there, and I spent all my time in the Word. And you know as well as I do, I end up needing regeneration, like physically, because your body fails. But the point is God can sustain you through anything, and it's proven throughout the Word. And why we don't have faith in that. And like I said, just the little things. Say, thank you, Lord. Just say, thank you, Lord. And like, it's not like it takes a lot of time out of your day. And bend your knees. Yes, sitting around, praying, having conversations, those are all wonderful things. But get on your knees, raise your hands, praise the Lord. Not because other people are watching, but because He's watching. Another profound thing, you know, speeding even a little bit over the speed limit. You know, it was something I laughed about. My grandpa's like, I don't. Who do you think's watching? And I was like, wow. And you never know where the Word of God's going to come from sometimes. Because when I heard that, and then it was like 2 days later, Blake's right along with me. He's like, aren't you speeding? And I'm like, that's like 57. You know, like, it's no big deal. And then immediately I was like, wait a minute. I'm literally setting an example. It's okay to break the law a little bit. Well, the Lord's indifferent. I mean, our Father wants us to obey Him. So it's saying, well, He says this, but He's okay with me. No. He said it. You want to be obedient. We're supposed to spend time with Him. Get to know Him. Knock and the door will open. Ask. He'll give you the... Nothing is hidden from you if you spend time with Him. And I could prove this in the fact that I don't read and comprehend, and yet I'm reading and comprehending because He's giving me information. I mean, he's nothing but truth. There's nothing else to be said except that connection's there for everybody. You got to go and get it. You've got to want to spend the time. He is important. He is the most important thing for sanity in a family. He's taken me, turned me a 180 and in an impossible way in many regards, as far as what old me would have probably considered, and I'm sure you as well, like just that change, and then the change filters into the family, because as Christ is the head of the man, the man's the head of the family, right? So you understand that delegation, that importance. Well, this is my flock. And I have been misleading this flock because I've been stuck in the world. Well, now my eyes are open. I'm not in the world. And I realize what's actually important. And our kids have truly gained. I mean, the blessings through it. It's nothing I've done either. It's all the work of the Lord. Every last bit of it. There's nothing good in me if you remove Him.
No, it's funny how they run around the house singing, you know, songs about
behold
Jesus,
yeah
God, you know,
behold and, our God, yeah, yeah, absolutely, that yeah. was a blessing
rather than pop music that they usually listen to,
yeah. But see, but that those things right there, I take that's a blessing.
We
I'm
will
so thank
you
right but I'm just saying that stuff right there, those are huge blessings. And sometimes it's very important that we slow down, we look around us, and we just say thank you, Lord, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. I mean, he says, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, or actually 33 and 34, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Meaning we have a hard enough time staying focused and being on course today. We have no business looking at tomorrow, and that's that next breath. Why am I stressing over a tomorrow when I'm not guaranteed to breathe again, right? I mean, you don't know what's willed for you, and you know, it's, the Lord is awesome. God is awesome. His word is awesome. It is true. It is pure. It's just the most amazing thing. And we'll talk more after we get back from this one. All right, and we're back. So yeah, I mean, blessings. You guys out there, let's not forget who is in charge of everything and who is got control everywhere and everything. It's not us. No, no, it's our Father. It's our Lord. He has control. And we got to remember, we won't have anything, wouldn't have anything if not for him. So we need to make time for ourselves to reflect and understand that, yeah, it's cool. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to do this. Not, yeah, I did that. You know, we got to start flipping the script, and we need to be looking to him and giving thanks to him and praising him, because he is a jealous God. He doesn't like other things being in the way of his glory. And you know what? Everything is his glory. You open your eyes, look around you. That exists because of him. And just be thankful for what you have. Praise him. Bend your knees. Raise your hands. The Lord is awesome. The Lord is good. The Lord is just. And he deserves every last bit of praise. And just, I'll go to Isaiah 51:12. I am he, the God of all comfort. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man who is already dead, and a son of a man which will be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Guys, he's saying, so you're worried about what other people think, but you're not worried about me. And you're worried about what they think of you and not the fact that I could just wipe it all clean. I mean, he created it in a second. He created it in speaking it. He can talk it out just as fast. And let us not forget that the whole world was flooded and there was but eight that survived. And regardless of them saying, hey, get on the boat, help out, they all went, nah, wait till it rains. And, well, they didn't want to do anything until that time came. And just be conscious. Remember, there is only one God, and he is the God of gods of everything, and he loves us. He wants to help us. He wants to see us have good things. He wants his praise, and it's his glory. I'm not here without him. I can't do this without him. I don't understand anything without him. I can't feed my children without him. Thank you, Lord, for every last bit of it. And just remember to look to him. And with that, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for all of us. And we ask that you open our eyes to what you do and give us the ability, give us the want to look to you and just say thank you. No matter the good or the bad, be thankful for all we have. And just know that you've got it all under control. And we owe you a thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this, and I pray it reached out and touched everybody you wanted it to, and I know it's your purpose, not mine. And I pray that the words come through the way you want them to, and that it'll bring you glory, Lord. And forgive us for missing those opportunities. And thank you for the new days to start fresh and bring glory to you in every thought and every step. We thank you, Lord. In Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And I thank you guys for listening, and I thank you guys for just everything, just being there, and I hope this was helpful, and I sure do enjoy it. Just kind of so awesome. And have a wonderful day. I love you all. And remember, look up.